Welcome to S&C's podcast series, S&C Critical Insights. I'm Ben Perry, a partner in the General Practice Group in S&C's London office. I'm joined today by Vanessa Blackmore and Jeremy Kuttner, both of whom are partners in the General Practice Group in the London office. Today, Vanessa, Jeremy and I are going to be discussing what we think are some of the key considerations for M&A transactions in the UK, which have arisen so far out of the COVID-19 pandemic. Every transaction is obviously different, and how COVID-19 may impact any given situation will depend on the particular facts of that situation. Therefore, what we're going to talk about today are some of the general themes that may apply, both to transactions that have signed but not yet closed, as well as to future transactions. We're recording this podcast against a backdrop where a number of transactions that were in the process of being put together before the outbreak of COVID-19 have been paused because of economic, social, and logistical impact of COVID-19. In this regard, the UK M&A market has, in general, not been any more or less affected by COVID-19 than the market in other developed countries. Obviously, in prior years, Brexit had been a factor which had affected M&A activity in the UK to a greater effect than in other countries. However, before the COVID-19 outbreak, the conclusion of a Brexit deal had led to much, but not all, of the uncertainty relating to Brexit being removed. This meant that the UK M&A market had again become closely aligned with the market in other countries. Some of the themes that we're going to talk about today arise out of general economic or market conditions, such as the impact of COVID-19 on valuations or the availability of financing. Some of the other themes are new ones which arise out of the direct impact of COVID-19 on the business which is being acquired or the government responses to COVID-19. Lastly, there are themes which relate to the question of whether, and if so how, COVID-19 may change UK market practice in certain areas. Turning first to Jeremy. Jeremy, what do you think is likely to be the impact of COVID-19 on valuations in UK M&A deals?
Thanks, Ben. As you'd expect, COVID-19 is having a significant impact on valuations because of the distress the pandemic is causing to everyone, both buyers and sellers, but also because of the potential effect that the pandemic will have in the medium and possibly long term on how relevant businesses work in terms of supply chain, distribution, etc. Parties are therefore revisiting existing valuations and considering these impacts. Another parallel issue is that the effect of COVID-19 can vary from company to company, even within the same sector. While valuations have often been led by comparisons to others in the sector, it is not clear that that methodology is still fully effective, or at least it needs to be carefully considered. Finally, these effects seem likely to push buyers to try to push the timing for as much of the valuation exercise as possible back towards the closing of a transaction and possibly beyond. That seems likely to drive buyers away from using lockbox structures and more towards use of completion accounts. While this doesn't allow a complete valuation to be delayed, it does allow some factors going into the valuation to be pushed back. At the very least, we might see more hybrid structures where there is a lockbox with a post-completion adjustment for certain key metrics. Some parties may also push for earnouts to be used, which might seem quite attractive, as it arguably pushes some of the price calculation to a time potentially after the pandemic is under control. However, we don't think these are any easier to implement now than before the pandemic, so while we may see a few more, I don't think they'll come too widespread.
Thank you, Jeremy. Now, you've just talked about how valuations may change. The other thing which goes hand in hand with this is how the consideration for an M&A deal is structured. Vanessa, how do you think that the things we've been talking about so far will affect deal consideration?
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy's highlighted some of the ways the calculation of consideration for a transaction might move. I'm going to touch on how the funding of the purchase price could be affected. As a preliminary point, sellers will be keen to ensure deal certainty and should take particular care to understand how the purchaser proposes to finance the acquisition. Where the acquisition is debt financed, it's important to ensure that the conditions to closing of the transaction and to drawdown of the financing match. We anticipate that debt financing for the purchase price may become significantly more difficult and expensive to secure. This is likely to mean that we'll see more deals with a share component to the purchase price where possible, and also that purchasers who have access to cash will be in a stronger position in a competitive situation.
Thank you, Vanessa. We're going to switch gears now and talk about how the direct impact of COVID-19 on businesses, as well as the government responses to COVID-19, may affect both current and future M&A deals. Jeremy, what effect do you think this will have on what due diligence is undertaken by the parties?
Thanks, Ben. There are a few different impacts of COVID-19 on due diligence. For one thing, some sellers are finding it more difficult to pull together the necessary information, and so processes can take a bit longer than before. Obviously, in many situations, physical diligence is not possible, and so parties are using Zoom or similar software for management presentations and discussions, which is never quite as trusted as a physical meeting or site visit. Secondly, the information that purchasers need itself needs to adapt to take the effects of the pandemic into account. There are probably many new or more detailed questions that will need to be asked, but a few that spring to mind are the effects of COVID-19 on material contracts, such as force majeure and MAC provisions. If and how supply chains have been disrupted, concentration and location of customers and suppliers, extended financial diligence, such as liquidity and debt covenants, use and terms of any state support to the business, terms of insurance policies and whether any are triggered by the pandemic, impact of the pandemic on the workforce, such as furloughs and remote working, and how IT and other systems have coped with any changes in business practice, such as remote working.
Thank you, Jeremy. Due diligence obviously feeds directly into contractual protection for the buyer in the form of warranties. Vanessa, how do you think that what Jeremy has been describing is going to affect what we see in terms of warranties?
Thanks, Ben. I think there's a distinction to be drawn between warranties that were already negotiated and given before the COVID-19 pandemic, and those where the transaction documents are still under negotiation. If warranties have already been negotiated and given, a seller needs to check whether any are to be repeated at closing, and if so, whether they can still be made, and whether any supplemental disclosures are permitted or can be made. If the warranties are still under negotiation and the transaction hasn't signed, the parties will need to consider whether any specific COVID-19 warranties are required. For instance, a purchaser may consider including COVID-19 specific warranties to prompt the seller to disclose information on the effects to the business of the pandemic, such as disruptions, risks, and potential impacts, especially where physical site visits are not possible. In the UK, it's not widespread practice to have all the warranties brought down to closing, but we do think it's possible the market might see an increase in US-style bring-down warranties, meaning that the warranties are repeated at closing, although we think sellers are likely to try very hard to resist this.
Thank you, Vanessa. Now, we've just talked about warranties, but the other key protection for the buyer, particularly in an uncertain environment, is the interim covenants relating to the operation of the business between signing and closing. Jeremy, what are you seeing here?
Thanks, Ben. As you know, interim covenants can be used by purchasers to try to ensure that the operations of the target continue as expected in a gap between signing and completion. Of course, COVID-19 may have an impact on the target's ability to comply with any interim covenants. Where deals are already agreed, some sellers are having to seek buyer consent to deviate from these agreed covenants. Sometimes buyers are withholding such consent, even though occasionally such consent may only be withheld where it is reasonable to do so. Buyers will need to consider what the right reference point is for interim covenants, which will usually require the seller to operate the target business in the ordinary course as it has been for the previous 12 months. The question is, where the previous 12 months have included response to the pandemic, should that be considered as part of the comparative ordinary course period? It's likely that future sellers will place greater importance on ensuring that there are qualifications or exceptions to any interim covenants, such as actions taken by the seller in good faith in response to the impact of COVID-19 or other health emergencies, as sellers could be forced to act outside the ordinary course in response to these issues. for example, by suspending parts of their business. In turn, buyers may desire greater oversight during the interim period to ensure that they can more effectively monitor the situation, though purchasers must, of course, remain alive to gun jumping, which remains relevant.
Thank you, Jeremy. We're going to turn now to what buyers may be able to use as the basis for trying to withdraw from a deal because of the impact of COVID-19 and how sellers may respond to this. Vanessa, are you able to describe how situations like this may play out?
Thanks, Ben. I'm going to touch on what we call material adverse change or MAC clauses first of all, and then I'm going to say a couple of brief words about frustration and force majeure. MAC clauses give the purchaser the right to terminate a transaction if a material adverse change occurs in the target's business between signing and closing. Broadly worded MAC clauses tend to be a more common feature of US deals, and they're usually subject to exceptions for matters that impact the economy as a whole or companies in the same industry. On the other hand, in the UK, if a MAC clause is agreed, it tends to be drafted more narrowly, and it's more often tied to objective, measurable standards for the target, such as a fall in the level of profitability. In my experience, MAC clauses often tend to be open to interpretation and can be difficult in practice to invoke. In UK public takeovers, the takeover panel's consent is required to invoke a MAC offer condition. The takeover panel sets the bar exceedingly high and requires an adverse change of very considerable significance, striking at the very heart of the purpose of the transaction. And to date, it has never given its consent. Although somewhat topically, the Brigadier Acquisitions Company, the bidder for Moss Bros, has recently appealed to the takeover panel to invoke a MAC condition, and we await to see the outcome of that. Turning very briefly to another basis on which parties might seek to terminate a transaction, frustration is a common law principle, which operates in a very narrow set of circumstances. The contract must essentially be impossible to perform. And we think it's unlikely that COVID-19 is going to frustrate SPAs, but this depends on the facts and circumstances and will need to be decided on a case-by-case basis. Short of frustration, the parties might agree a force majeure clause. This allows the parties to withdraw from a transaction if there's an extreme change in circumstances, such as war or natural disaster. But these types of clauses are rare in the UK context, and it seems that COVID-19 is unlikely to change this.
Thank you, Vanessa, and thank you, Jeremy. Before we finish, I'm just going to say a word about deal timing generally. Many deals are conditional on obtaining some sort of antitrust or regulatory approval, and there is normally a long stop date by which the approvals must be obtained and the other closing conditions satisfied. Now, different regulators have been responding in different ways to the challenges arising from the dislocation that's been brought by COVID-19. They're all working from home, but it's had more of an impact on some regulators than others. Statutory deadlines for regulators to consider approvals are in some cases either no longer applying or their commencement is being delayed. Therefore, in setting long stop dates for new deals, parties will need to bear in mind that this timing uncertainty may continue for some time, depending on how the ending of lockdown measures is phased in different countries. Parties may also need to discuss resetting the long stop dates for deals that are already in progress. In addition, parties will need to consider what they are willing to agree to in terms of responding to requests by regulators for remedies. That's because some of the remedies that might otherwise be available, such as selling a business to offset the anti-competitive impact of a deal, may not be as readily available in the current environment. Any request for a hell or high water undertaking to obtain regulatory approvals will therefore need to be considered even more carefully than before COVID-19. That's the end of today's podcast. Thank you for listening. We hope that you and your loved ones stay safe and well.